For allowing us to be here with you guys in service tonight. What an honor to be here. Amen. What an honor, Pastor, to stand behind your pulpit. I want to tell you, church, you got a man of God as a pastor. I think you ought to give him a hand. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful man of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Modern technology, I can't get it to work for me no matter what. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, Jesus Christ. We give you glory. We give you honor. There we go. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. How many know that you can search all over and you can't find nobody like Jesus? Nobody can heal you like Jesus. Nobody can deliver like Jesus. Nobody can touch you like Jesus. Amen, amen. While you're standing, we'll go ahead and go to the Word of God. Exodus chapter 14, verses 11 through 15. Praise the Lord. Amen. Again, I am so honored to be here in the house of the Lord. I just pray. I told my wife tonight, I am way over here, I said, I'm so nervous and I don't know why. Amen. Hallelujah. We're just going to worship the Lord. Amen. We're just going to be obedient to God. Is that all right? Praise the Lord. I don't know how any other way to be. Now, I tell you, when I get obedient, sometimes I jump pews. So if I step on you, don't take it personal. Amen. That's just who I am. Amen. Exodus 14, verses 11 through 15. And they said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord today. Amen. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, you shall see them no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall, amen, and you shall hold your peace. Here's the scripture I want you to keen in on right here, verse 15. And the Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak to the children of Israel, that they go forward. Another translation says, then the Lord spoke to Moses and said, why are you crying to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Amen. I want you to look at somebody tonight and I want you to tell them where you're going is more important than where you've been. Amen. Let's all pray. Lord, I praise you tonight. We give you honor. We give you glory. I thank you for the opportunity to minister your gospel, to preach your word. Father, I don't ask that I speak with elegant words of men's wisdom, but I speak with the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. I pray that I don't speak anything that is of me tonight, but I speak the word of God that may transform lives, that may heal, deliver, set free, bring the lost to salvation, fill with the Holy Ghost tonight. God, we give this service to you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Give him a hand clap of praise as you're being seated. Amen. It's interesting to me that the Lord tells Moses to stop praying and start doing. Amen. Prayer must be a vital part of our relationship with God. It must be a vital part of our everyday life. We must find ourselves in a place of prayer. Everyone needs a prayer closet. Amen. To find your place closer to God, that you may find out. Amen. I've learned that in the front seat of an automobile is my best prayer place. Amen. I've got a little ways from home to work, so I find myself talking to Jesus every morning. Amen. Amen. He meets me there. He's with me on my way. But let me tell you what prayer cannot be. Prayer cannot be a substitute for action. You have to pray, but let me tell you, you got to find somewhere in your life that we use prayer to postpone what it is. We know God has already spoken to us and told us what to do. And we know that the Lord has spoken. Maybe pastor has come to you and said, you know, I just feel like the Lord's calling me, letting me pull you into a ministry. And the first thing we'll do is, well, let me pray about it. You know what I've done, brother? I've looked down and said, never mind. I'll pray for somebody else. Amen. Because you're not really ready to take on that place and to do that thing. But sometimes God has spoken something into our spirit and we begin to pray because we want to postpone what we know that we have to do. But can I tell you something? It's time to put one foot in front of the other and to begin to do what God has called us to do and to become who it is God has called us to become. But a lot of times we're so stuck in our past, and that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. The Israelites were so stuck in what was
behind them that they couldn't see where God had brought them to, nor could they believe where God was taking them. Amen. And they were so consumed. They said, you know what? It'd been better because there was no grace for us in Egypt. You brought us out to the wilderness to die. And didn't we tell you to leave us alone? We were okay in captivity. We were all right in bondage. We had become used to where we were. We had become adapted to our surroundings. And we really didn't care if we ever got loose. I don't know who I'm speaking to tonight, but I come to tell you, you need to get uncomfortable with where you are so God can move you to the place He has intended for you to be. Amen. Let me tell you something. God said you've been sitting there for so long, you've gotten roots there. He said, but that wasn't the place that I wanted you to gain roots. It was only a temporary position until I take you to the place I wanted you to be. Give Him a hand clap of praise. Amen. So a lot of times, like the Israelites, we find ourselves wanting to revert back and to turn back to something that was comfortable and was easy and we were used to. We get used to life, amen? A lot of times a woman in a relationship, a battered and abusive relationship, and in our mind we're trying to figure out, why has she not left this relationship? Why has she not realized where she is? She knows where she is. But she's been in it for so long that she's used to it now. And the unknown sometimes is more fearful than the abuse. And we get in our lives sometimes and we know that God is calling us out and wanting us to venture out into higher ground, into better things, and to prosper our lives and to bless our lives. But we're so content with where we are because we know what tomorrow holds here. We know what we got to do. We got to make some bricks. We got to build some buildings for Pharaoh. And we just got to please the taskmasters. But we don't know what lies in the promised land. Amen. And before we can ever get to the place where God can really pour out His blessings on us, we've got to deal with the past. And we've got to begin to have an understanding that God has taken us somewhere greater than where we've ever been before. Amen. So there's a few things that I want to talk to you about the past today. Number one, I want you to turn from your past. Amen. I love what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 70. It says, from that time, Jesus began to preach repentance and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. That word repentance means to change your mind and change your direction. Some of us need to change directions. Some of us are heading down one way, amen, but we need to begin to repent and turn the other way and begin to walk a different way than where we're walking, amen. That word repentance always has a numerical number with it too. It means to turn a 180. You ever heard people try to give somebody an advice and they'll say, you need to do a 360 in your life? No, you don't. Figure that out, baby. A 360 is going to take you back to where you come from. You need to do a 180. You need to turn from where you are and go the opposite direction. Amen. You're headed to hell, but you need to be headed to heaven. You're headed towards sin, but you need to be headed towards salvation. You're headed towards sickness, and you need to be headed towards healing. You need to turn a 180. You got to turn from your past. You got to realize that God is wanting to do something in your life. And it's going to take an action from you, from turning from where you are to where God has intended for you to be. Philippians 3:13 says, brother, and I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing, amen, I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are ahead. I don't care what was behind me. I don't care what I went through. I don't care what I just came out of. I'm more worried about where God has taken me today. I'm more worried about what God has in store for me tomorrow. I'm looking forward to what the Lord has for me. Genesis 19:17, and it come to pass when they brought, this is the angel bringing Lot and his wife and his daughters out. He brought them out and said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. When God brings you out of one place, don't get content. Don't even get content in the place of temporary things. You got to understand that God brought you out of one place to take you to another. Amen. When God closes, how many know when God closes one door, it means He's got another one open. Amen. I come to tell you tonight, don't stay in the hallway. Too many of us get content in the hallway and we don't go into the door that God opens up. Amen. You can, when God takes you out of one place and puts you in the hallway, all He's doing is preparing you for when He gets that door open. And when He gets that other door open, you got to begin to step in to where God says you can go. Amen. Don't get content in the hallway. The hallway ain't that much to it. Amen. Give Him praise. Hallelujah. Faith focuses forward, not behind. You've got to keep your eyes on what God is going ahead of you and do. In Isaiah 43 and 90, behold, I do a new thing now. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Amen. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I'm going to do something in your life now. If you're willing to accept it now, God will begin to move. God will begin to stir. God will begin to change some things in your life. But you got to understand that He wants to do it now. Everybody knows this one. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. You've got to understand that God has done a new thing in your life. And if He's called you out of sin, you've got to begin to live a holy life before God. Too many of us, God brings us out of some things in our life, and we're constantly looking back to the old man. He said in Luke 9:62, if any man put his hand to the plow, amen, and look back, he's not fit for the kingdom. Let me give you an encouraging word today. You forget about that old man and let him die. And let God begin to move a resurrection in your life and bring you out. We need to forget our past just like Jesus forgot our past. He nailed it to the cross. Amen. Psalms 103:3 says, who hath forgiven all thine iniquities and healeth thy diseases. Psalms 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, has He moved our transgressions from us. Praise God. God has forgotten your past, and you need to forget your past and look towards your future. Amen. You need to look at what God has created in you and what He has done in your life. I'm going to tell you something. There's enough people out there. The devil don't even have to remind you of your past. There's enough people out there that will remind you of your past. But let me tell you something. God's got something for you that's much greater than whatever was behind you. And you just need to keep stepping forward. Amen. How many say I'm leaving the old man behind? Hallelujah. We got to get past our past. We got to move on. There's something else I want you to do with the past. Sounds crazy after what I just talked about, but you got to treasure that past. Meaning you got to treasure the path that you have taken. What God has done in your life. There's some things, yes, we need to leave it in the past, but we could, and I'm not talking about turning back to that past of sin, but I'm talking about taking a reflection back and seeing where God has brought you from and what God has done in your life. Amen. I was sitting out here, I came here two Sunday nights ago, and we sat in the back. Amen. I just wanted to come to service, so me and my daughter and a couple of the gentlemen for the church came back, and we were out, we were leaving, and I seen all those kids out in the yard playing around out there in the yard, and I thought about, you know, I can remember when my grandfather used to come up here, and I was that kid playing out in the yard. That just wasn't too long ago. Yeah, I didn't have to laugh so hard about that either. I look at this church and I think about your grandfather and the heritage and the history that this church has. That is something worth looking back for and gleaming from and looking at and thinking, God, that where you are today from where you was. And Brother Allen was talking about the old church over here that now has been redone. Amen. It's the children's ministry and the different departments. That's something to look back to and have a heritage and remember what God has done in your life. And some, amen, give Him praise. Hallelujah. And we can look at that and we can cherish that past and we can treasure that past and we can look at that and say, God has done something in our life. Look what the Lord has done. Amen. He has brought us out. Amen. And there's sometimes in our current state that we can look at. See, the children of Israel looked at it and all they could see was the Red Sea in front of them and the army behind them. The same Egyptians that had been plagued with 10 plagues were facing the same Israelites that didn't have any of that problem. The same God that done all that was a God that had brought brought them out, amen, a fire by night and a cloud by day, and they had failed to reflect back and see what God had done for them in the past. The same God that brought them out of Egypt was the same God that was going to bring them through the Red Sea, the same God that was going to take out Pharaoh. They had to understand that God had not left them. He had not forsaken them. The same one that did it then was going to do it now. There's three things your past can become to you. Number one, it become a museum. Amen? A museum is where you go around and looking at all the relics of the past. You're moving, but you're never progressing forward. Now, when I say that we need to honor our heritage, I'm not saying live back there, but thank God to where He brought us from. You never move forward in a museum. You're always looking at the things of the past. You're looking at the past accomplishments. You're looking at the past hurts. You're looking at the past failures. You're looking at the past that you have sinned. And you're always just reflecting back on that. And your past becomes your museum. And you're never moving forward because you're stuck in the past. And we don't need a museum. The second thing that your past can become to you is a mausoleum. A mausoleum is somewhere where you lay the dead. And sometimes in our life, we get stuck in one area in our life, and maybe it's the greatest tragedy we've ever been through. Maybe it's the strongest hurt that we've ever had to face. Maybe it's the strongest difficulty of our life, and we live right there in that past, and we die there because we never move any kind of a way, and we're stuck right there, and we never move, and we can't get beyond that place. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's a failure in our life that we can't get over, and we can't get through, amen, and we stay right there and we die in that place, and our past becomes a mausoleum because we're dead. I want to tell you something. There's not a sin in this house God cannot clean, amen. There's not a sin, there's not a sickness, there's not anything you've done in your past that He cannot cleanse you from. He said that the Bible tells me in 1 John that He's faithful and just. If we ask Him to forgive us of our sins, He will. So there's no need to die in your past. But the thing that I would encourage you that you would make your past is become your mentor. A mentor is someone that is an experienced and a trusted advisor. Someone that you can learn from. Someone you can glean from. Someone that you can pull from. Amen. Anybody ever had a mentor in your life? Someone that you could take from. Amen. We need to make our past the mentor of our lives. Amen. We need to look at what everything that God has brought us through and understand that the same God that brought us through then is the God that's going to bring us through today. We can look back in our past and say, well, Brother Bailey started that church just off of faith, and he bought that land or whatever it may have been, whatever the circumstance may have been. And I'm going to tell you today that the same God that worked for Brother Bailey is the same God that's working for Eddie Allen and Jason Spray and the congregations that are met here tonight. We can glean from the past, and we can make it our mentor. We can look at all the things that God has brought us out of, and we can find ourselves sometimes in some situations and saying, well, I don't know how I'm going to come out of this. I don't know how I'm going to make this bill. I don't know how I'm going to get healed. I don't know how I'm going to pay this. I don't know what we're going to do with this one. I don't know what we're going to do with this one. But if we can take a mental note and look back, and we'll find out that God has already brought us through one of those things already, and the same God is here tonight, and He'll bring you through tonight. He'll heal you if you need healing. He'll deliver you if you need deliverance. He'll bring you out if you need to be brought out. He'll make a way where there seemeth to be no way. He'll do the impossible. He'll perform the miracle. The same God that brought him out back in Egypt is the same God that's here tonight. The same one that raised the dead back in 2,000 years ago can raise the dead tonight. Somebody told me one time, said, the Bible's a storybook. I said, no, baby, the Bible is a history lesson, because I serve that same God today, amen. I'm going to tell you what, the same God in chapter 16 of Acts, that when Paul and Silas began to pray and seek God and sang hymns unto God in the midnight hour, that He came in like a foundation shaking earthquake and opened up the prison doors and loosed the chains, is the same God tonight, that if we can get in this altar and give Him all our problems in our situations, He'll come in like an earthquake and loose every chain, break over every door. The same God that when the children of Israel marched around Jericho. I'm not like them, Brother Eddie. I can't keep quiet. Marched around and marched around and marched around for 7 days. And on the seventh day, that seventh time, when they got around to that place, same place they got to start with, and he told them, shout, they hear the trumpet sound, and the same ones that lifted up their voice unto God and said, God, you told us to shout. We're here to shout. The same God that brought down those walls is the same God today in 2018. If we can give him a shout of praise and glory and honor in the midst of a hard situation, and a difficult time can bring down the walls. Make that past a mentor and say, I've come too far for you to tell me my God can't do it. I've been through too much for you to tell me my God's not able. I've seen him move too many times for you to tell me he's not powerful. I know he can do it. I believe he can do it. I trust that he can do it. And he's going to direct my path and do everything. The Proverbs 3:5-6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. I can tell you tonight, the same God that's directed your path out of problems before is the same God you can trust in tonight. Give him praise. Amen. Psalms 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Following him steps. Let him lead and guide you. I can guarantee you he's never failed you. He's never led you wrong. There's been times in my life I'm kind of wondering if it was me or the Lord. Anybody ever had that time when the Lord spoke to you and you kind of rebuked him? I told this story, New Season knows this, but I thank God for new people, because you can tell some old stories. Me and Elizabeth were going to Walmart one day, and all right, she looked like a Muslim, her and her 2-3 children out there at Walmart asking for money, had her shroud over her head, dressed fully, just like a, asking for money, had a sign saying, please help. Well, I don't know about any of you. How many married men get an allowance from your wife? You tell me how that's done after service, brother. If I got it, I got to sneak it. But I had $20. I had some money in my pocket. I don't know how much it was. Might have been $20. Might have been $100. I don't know. But we walking in, the Lord spoke to me. He said, you give her everything in your pocket. I said, devil, you are a liar. We went in and went into Walmart. The Lord began to deal with me again. He said, when you leave, you give that lady everything you got in the pocket. I said, Satan, get behind me in the name of Jesus. And the longer we're in Walmart, I'm telling Elizabeth, we got to go. Because the longer we're in Walmart, the more he's dealing with me. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, now, she might be Muslim. He said, it's nothing your business. I said, she might buy bullets for ISIS. He said, she might buy food for her kids. So men, the Lord, now, you could read in Genesis where the Lord and Abraham had a debate about Lot. And Lot's talking with the Lord, and he says, pre-adventure, there's 50 there. And he's debating with them. That's what me and the Lord's doing about this money in my pocket. I said, if there's 50 more people out there, I'll give them my money. And the Lord began to deal with me. And me and Elizabeth, we walked out, and I passed that lady. Got all the way to the car, Brother Allen. And I told Elizabeth, I said, let's put this stuff in the car. We got to go back. She said, what did we forget? I said, I forgot to give that lady her money. I found him to be faithful, no matter what. Amen. I never lost a dime. I don't know what happened. But you got to understand, you got to begin to listen to the Spirit of the Lord. I found him to be faithful. I told somebody this story. I'm just going to tell a couple of stories. He told me I could have my liberty. We got to at least 12 o'clock.
Your people are mad at you. No. Me and my wife have been living now 3 years in the place we've been living. And the Lord, we were going to have to move from where we were. It's a long story. It would be 12 o'clock if I told you all this story. But we were going to have to move. I wasn't getting thrown out. It was just some circumstance. We were going to have to find a place to live. We were going to either have to buy the place we were at or buy another place. And we found this house, fell in love. We really felt like the Lord wanted us to have it. But it was going to cost us $7,000 for down payment, for closing costs and all that. And I don't know about you, but I'm just an old country boy from Villarica. I don't have much money in the bank. You're going to empty me out. Trust me, I'm already on ramen noodles. And for a man who has to try to provide for his family and feeling like you can't do that, that's devastating. And I'm at work and I'm walking around the shop and I'm just praying. I'm praying all the time, God, I don't know what to do. And Pam's trying to find other places and other things, amen, that we make a buy and afford and different things. And I just really felt like that was the Lord, amen. If that ain't Jesus, amen. And I'm praying and I'm praying. I'm walking the shop floor while I'm at work and I'm praying. And now the corner of my eye, I see a dime in the crack. You know how the concrete has a crack in it, everybody? And I see that shiny dime and, you know, I'm like, usually I walk past it. And you're going to think I'm crazy when I tell you this story. And I reach down and I pick up that dime and just old country boy, poor boy, I said, 10 cents richer than I was. Put it in my pocket. Like I said, you can believe this or not, but the Spirit of the Lord says, won't you give that to me as a seed, and I'll provide your down payment. And I thought, that devil done talking to me again. The Lord began to do me. I went that evening from work, went straight to the church, got down and prayed. I prayed over that 10 cent. I put it in an envelope, didn't put my name on it. I just put seed money and a dime. That was that week. Sunday, I went into church. Still didn't know where anything was going to come from. Didn't know how anything was going to get paid. Long story short, I walked out that morning with $7,000 in my pocket somebody that church had given us. You've come too late to tell me he can't provide. You've come too late to tell me he's not able. I've seen it in the past. It's become my mentor for today to get me through the trials and the tribulations of today. My past has become my mentor. Every time the devil comes with me in an attack, I say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I've already become an overcomer, amen. I've already seen it happen. He's already provided. He's already made a way. There's nothing that you can come against me with that I have not already seen God do. Come too late, devil. Come too late. He's my mentor. My past has become my mentor. I've learned to walk after God, to follow his steps and what he leads me to do. And sometimes you can learn from the past of others. Luke chapter 17:32 says, remember Lot's wife. We can remember, we can look back at the accomplishments and the failures of other people, and we need to take that into consideration for where God has taken us. Amen. So look at those things. And number three, I would tell you to travel past your past. Number one, I say travel past your past accomplishments. I want to ask you something. What are you doing today? Charles Schwab had one of his salesmen sent him a telegram one time and telling him about a great sale that he had done the day before. It was the largest sale that salesman had ever made, and it was one of the largest sales ever made in that company at that time. Charles Schwab sent him back a telegram, said, I'm glad to hear about your great sale you made yesterday, but what have you done today? I thank God for heritage. I thank God for history. I thank God for the things that God has handed down to this church and the church and my bloodline and everything else that there is. But I want to tell you, so I don't want it to stop there. I want it to carry on, amen. I thank God for the generations that are before me tonight. I look and see past generations, present generations, and I also see future generations.
Let me tell you something. We cannot stop with this tonight. We've got to hand it down to the history and the generations that will come after us. Let the power... I don't want my family and my children and grandchildren to have to read about a Pentecostal heritage. I want them to experience Pentecost and the power of God today while they're at this age. Now, I don't want to live in yesterday. I don't want to tell about what used to be. I want to talk about the power of God that is today. I don't want to talk about what God did back in the day. Amen. I want to experience the power of God today. John 9:4 says, I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day, for night comes when no man shall work. If there's anything that God has called you to do, we've got to begin to do it today. Don't waste time. Don't dilly-dally with it. Just begin to do what God has called you to do. So we've got to travel past our past accomplishments and quit living in a yesterday year and see what God can do today. You've got to get past your past adversities. Some of us are living in the mausoleum because we can't get past what the things that hurt us the most. We've got to get past those things. Hebrews 12:1, wherefore seeing we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run our race with patience. We've got to get past those things that have hindered us and held us back. Sometimes it's the failures in ministry. How many, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I just want you to know you can relate, that you stepped out on faith in ministry and you felt like God didn't step out with you. Amen? Been there. Went back to the house, told my wife, said, I'll never do that again. Never do it again. I remember I was 17 years old. The Lord had called me. I got saved. Actually, it was one of the former pastors here during a revival. I gave my life to the Lord at 13 years old. Amen. 17 years old. You called to preach. I know that. Just didn't want to do it. Down in church in Carrollton, one of the ones I grew up in, my uncle pastor, you're going to preach one of Sunday morning for us. I'm like, all right, I'm fired up. Boy, I'm telling you what, I'm 17 years old, man. I'm reading every Bible scripture I can read. I'm getting a hold of every track. I'm envisioning this whole service all week. You know, I'm saying, I'm going to be the white T.D. Jakes, son. This is going to go down. This is going to throw down, man. What, you don't think I could fit it? I get up, maybe 10 minutes. And the first 5 minutes, brother, every eye was on me, and I was just... Started bawling. Tried to talk, couldn't talk. And it wasn't in tongues either. Said a few words. My uncle got up behind me and said he did the best he could do. Love you too. I stepped off that platform. I said, I will never do that again. And I told God that day, I went and sat on that front row. I said, you abandoned me. He was trying to tell me it's not your time. But I told him, I said, I backslid on the Lord. And for the next few years until I was 23, I didn't serve God. I went a long way from serving God. I did everything I could do to not serve God because I felt like he had abandoned me. And I could have let, and I always let that night, every time somebody come up to me and said, you know you're called to preach, you know you're supposed to be getting in church, I would that night would reflect back into my mind. I say, I kind of get interested in it, and then I think, nope. He done let me down one time. I ain't going to let him let me down again. And I lived in that mausoleum of the past because I let my life die there. Thank God for a godly woman that comes along that was too pretty for me to pass up. Amen. I grabbed a hold of her, and Lord, the Lord got a hold of me. Amen. And I'm going to tell you now, I'm not the best preacher in the world, and you probably already figured that out. But baby, I am not stopping now. Amen. I've got too far to go. Amen. Too far to go. I've come too far to stop now. We've got to lay all the past behind us. Lay it down and run. Let me tell you, you're going to find adversities and trials and tribulations and hurts in your life. You've got to lay them down for Jesus and keep moving forward. Amen. You've got to let those things go. You've got to travel past your past anger. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, be not hastily in the spirit to be angry, for anger resideth in the bosom of a fool. Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. I love Colossians 3:8. But now ye also put off all these things. Anger, number one. Wrath, malice, blasphemy. Filthy communication with thy mouth. You got to put some things off. These things are anchored you into the past. God's got a promised land waiting for you. You need to quit crying out to me and quit playing around and get to moving. Amen. How many say I want to move forward? I want to move forward. I want God to move in my life. I want God to do something in my life. I'm ready for a change. Amen. Sometimes, you know, you can be doing something godly and God says, it's time for a change. Time to move on. Time to do something different. I look at Moses. I bet Moses would have been content just sitting out in the wilderness with these little sheep. All of a sudden sees that burning bush. Lord speaks to him. Tells him, come here, take your shoes off. I love what it says when Moses is debating with the Lord. The Bible says the Lord told him, said, put down your rod. Moses laid down his rod, it become a snake. And the Bible says that Moses fled. I would be with Moses. But he would have been content rather. And who's to say he wasn't serving the Lord? But God said, it's time for a change, Moses. Stand with me all over the house. The first thing I'd tell you today is don't keep praying about something you know God's calling you to. Don't postpone something you know you need to do. I remember our first church. We were pastored in Tallapoosa. I was working nights trying to pastor during the day. Young pastor. Still a young pastor. Somebody say amen. I love you people more than you'll ever know. And I thought I had to do everything. Every little thing, church-wise, member-wise, preaching, teaching, everything. Trying to take care of my family. Elizabeth was little. And I took her to McDonald's one time. It was one Saturday. I just happened to have a little bit of time. I told Pamela, I want to take her to McDonald's. I just want to spend some time with her. That day I chose to spend time with my wife and my daughter. More than just, because I would get up at the church at 7 o'clock in the morning. And I'd just stay there at 12 o'clock at night. Just studying, praying, cleaning, mopping, cleaning toilets, doing whatever everybody thought the pastor should do. And the Lord hit me, and I'm trying to witness around town. I'm trying to win everybody. Church is growing. We started with just a handful. I'm talking about very small handful, and it's growing within a year and 3 months we were there. And the Lord spoke to me, and I was reading the word and come across the scripture. What's the profit of man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And the Lord told me, he said, what is it going to profit you if you win the whole city of Tallapoosa but lose your family? And I love pastoring. I love people. But I love my family. And the Lord spoke to me that, and I went in the next Sunday and I resigned. Hardest one of the hardest things I ever had to do. I'd just been pastoring a year and 3 months. But the Lord said, you're about to lose your family if you don't prioritize. So I had to make a change. I'm going to tell somebody in here tonight, I don't know who you are. I don't even know how to articulate this. Prioritize your life. Make sure you're doing things for the right reason and the right way. Because if it's not, it's not going to be worth it. Amen. You've run a great race.
Amen. Father, I pray right now for these people. I pray for the power of God to touch New Season. I pray for the power of God to touch First Pentecostal. I thank you that we're one church in Jesus Christ, no matter where our buildings are, no matter how separated by distance, we're the same in the faith. And God, I pray tonight that the Spirit of our Lord just overshadow this house. Let the Holy Ghost come down in a mighty way. Work in us a work for your glory. And God, I thank you that you have brought us out of bondage, not to let us die in the wilderness. Lord, I pray as we stand here, maybe some of us feel like we're in the hallway from one shut door to not a totally open door yet. But God, I praise you. And I honor you, and I pray for the Spirit of God to just be upon us, that when that door opens, let us walk through. God, I pray for our past, that it not anchor us down, that it not hold us back. That it not restrict us from receiving what it is you had of us to receive. And Lord, as we open this altar call tonight, I pray for healing. I don't care what the doctor's report is. I'm believing the report of the Lord. God, I don't care what the lawyer has.